Show up in the all-new Toyota Crown with styling that says,
"Tonight, I'm going to turn some heads."
With an available hybrid max powertrain that says,
"I've got a good grip on life."
And premium interior that says,
"This is my comfort zone."
Introducing the Toyota Crown, the car that says so much. Toyota, let's go places.
And welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Mason Avenue's Minor League Podcast. I am Steve Saipa, and this week I'm joined by just Ken Lavin, because Lucas and Thomas are doing some very classified things that we can't talk about, but suffice to say, it's going to be good, I hope.
You've already said too much.
Oh, shit. Well, Ken, how are you doing?
Good, good. Can't complain.
All right, well, clearly I'm about to get whacked here, but hopefully we're able to make it through the rest of this podcast then. So obviously, you know, this week it's just me and Ken. So we're going to keep it pretty light, keep it informal this week. One of the strengths of the podcast, I think, you know, is our minor league coverage, our team in general, the four of us. We have our strength is that we have different strengths and weaknesses. And one of our group's strengths, I don't know, that's a weird word to call it, but I don't know, one of the things that I know we are good at, and me and Ken in particular, you know, we've gone to tons of minor league games over the years, and not just locally, you know, to the Cyclones or, you know, like a bunch of the Jersey teams or whatever, but we've gone to games all over the place. We've seen all kinds of guys. So that's what we're going to do this week, since the two of us. We're going to pick our top 10 teams, stadiums, trips, whatever you want to call it. And in my case, I think it's pretty easy because I sat down and I thought about it, and I've been to exactly 10 different stadiums. So that makes it a bit easier in my case. Ken, I know you've been to a couple more.
Yeah, but that was like all time. Like,
right, well.
Going back to like childhood.
Right.
So, maybe a little different yardstick there.
Hey, you know, some of the best memories are when you're young and you're not jaded by the world and everything looks bigger and such. I know this summer I want to hopefully change that. I want to hopefully go to a couple more stadiums in the area that I haven't been to. I've been looking at Syracuse, which is actually a lot closer than I realized. It's only like a 4-hour drive, which is really not that bad.
It's not. It's basically what I do anytime I go back to the area from where I live now.
Yeah. I always thought Syracuse, I mean, you think Syracuse, you think like all the way up New York State and like a 10-hour trip or something like that. And it's not. So maybe I'll try to get to Syracuse this year. Because God knows the team is going to be great, right? all right. So we have our, in my case, I ranked it ordinarily. Ken, you just have a list because, Ken, you're just a great guy. And you can't, you know, you can't choose.
Yes, we'll go with that.
Perfect. All right.
Well, I'll pick them out in terms of my favorite at, I haven't spoken of. We'll do that, I guess.
Gotcha. All right. So I'm going to go with my number 10. And in 2018, I went to New Orleans at the beginning of April, and that happened to coincide with the beginning of the minor league season. So my number 10 on the list is the Shrine on Airline in Metairie, Louisiana, which was then home to the New Orleans Baby Cakes, which is a Marlins affiliate when I went. And honestly, I did not like the stadium. It was very bland and generic, and it's not actually in New Orleans. You know, when you're the New Orleans Baby Cakes, you would expect it, A, to be in New Orleans, not in a New Orleans adjacent city or town or parish or however it works. And you'd think that things would be over the top because it's New Orleans again.
So the team's called the Baby Cakes.
Yeah, I mean, the stadium was just very bland and generic. When I got there like, I guess 5 minutes too late, because it was their first year of existence and they were giving out, you know, T-shirts at the gate. And they just ran out of T-shirts at the gate I went to, so I didn't actually get a T-shirt. So that rubs me the wrong way. You know, come on.
Bummer. Yeah.
I know. The one good thing, though, is I accidentally bought a souvenir cup. Like, I didn't want to, but I ordered
you
a number.
The size, and they
right.
gave it to you.
Right. And I still have it, and I still use it, you know, all these years later. So, I mean, I guess I got my money's worth out of that meal. And I looked at the box score. I just went to one game that night, and I looked at the box score. Literally, it's the the Marlins AAA affiliate versus the Oakland Athletics AAA affiliate. So you can imagine. I got to see Eric Campbell. He pounded the ball right into the ground in front of home plate, and then
just like old times.
Yep. And apparently Mark Canna was starting the year in AAA for whatever reason. And I have no recollection of seeing him or, you know, obviously at the time caring, because this was 2018. So, you know, still quite a few years before he would come a Met. But he was there according to the box score. And that basically encapsulates my New Orleans Baby Cakes memories. They happened.
I was there.
Asterisk, I think. All right, who do you got next?
I'm going to go with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Solely because I went to a game. We got there late. We had Jeff McNeil was rehabbing, so we went to see him. We missed him hit. Because it's like 2 hours, and me and my dad couldn't get out of the house on time. So, and then there was a torrential downpour, and the game got banged after like 2 hours. But you know, we hung out for a while. Yeah, it's not a bad park. Just that's why I'm choosing the most.
Yeah, I've never been there. I almost went there once, but a bunch of people that I was supposed to go with canceled. So then I was just like, well, I don't feel like going alone. But yeah, I hear they have
way
a
way out there.
I hear they have a pretty nice park.
Yeah, oh, very nice park.
Yeah,
just, you know, you go to see Jeff McNeil and you miss Jeff McNeil, and the game immediately gets canceled, and you end up hanging out eating for you know, an hour and a half before driving home, having not seen any Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, that would be a bummer.
Yep.
All right. Well, number nine for me it's someplace that's not too far from Lehigh Valley. I'm going with PNC Field in Moosic, Pennsylvania, which is home to the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Roadriders. And I just felt the stadium was kind of generic. I really don't remember anything that stood out about it. Really, going back to my hotel, I guess, from the parking lot was like the most strong memory I still have of the place, because it was kind of nice. You know, it was a summer night, so all the crickets and the frogs and everything were chirping while I was sitting in traffic. And I was also really hungry. And like nothing was open. Apparently everything closes in the town of Moosic like really early. And all that was open was a McDonald's, which is not my real
not your
preference.
Chance.
But it's better than Burger King, as we've established.
Yes.
And also, the second game that I went to was one of those weird like 11 o'clock starts. And it was school camp day, and it was filled with hundreds of kids, you know, age 9 to 12. And that's maybe not the best situation you could find yourself in. But I saw Thomas Cipucci. This was last year, so we were still kind of like, A, Thomas Cipucci was still on the team. And B, we were still trying to figure out, like, what's going on with Thomas Cipucci. And he was frustrating, as always. He pitched three innings. They're scoreless innings, but they were only three. And he struck out nine. So I mean, it's like, yeah, good, and you still don't really know what to make of him. The Yankees, the Rail Riders, they had a bunch of those upper-level Yankee prospects, Floreal, Oswaldo Peraza, Andujar, but I don't know. None of those guys are particularly exciting, I don't think, you know? They're just kind of names. So that was my Rail Riders experience. Who do you got next?
Let's go with, I only went there once. I guess I'll be spicy. The Staten Island Yankees.
Whoa. Okay. No. I don't have them particularly high either, so I understand.
Yeah, just it's in a great location, but I only went there once to see Mikel Otañez, who was, you know, Mikel Otañez, no longer part of our purview.
Nope.
Didn't he? He's with the Diamondbacks now, I think.
Oh, he finally signed? Okay, I didn't realize.
I think I saw that somewhere.
I know a ton of minor league free agents, you know, were free agents, but tracking over the course of the last couple of weeks to see if they would be included in our other players of note thing. I know a lot of them have been unsigned.
Yeah. And actually, I have been there twice, but and I did meet Rookie, which made them not last. But, like, not a lot of food options. Especially being a diabetic. Yeah, definitely lower on the list.
I'm sure the parking situation is great, huh?
Oh, yeah, also. I had to park like a mile away.
Yep.
And just generic, except for being right on the water, which admittedly is very nice.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll talk about that in a little bit when I go over them on my list. I think this is actually kind of funny and a little spicy, too. A little bit controversial, and I won't go into too much depth since I think you'll be definitely talking about this place a little bit more. But number 8 on my list is going to be Nyseg in Binghamton, home to the Rumble Ponies.
No, I get that completely. It's kind of it's an older park.
Yeah, it's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Basically, like I don't know, the ballpark doesn't really have much character. It's just kind of in the middle of like a low-key commercial industrial area in Binghamton. Also, when I went, it was probably not the best time to go to a ball game. It was like May or maybe early June 2021. So obviously COVID, you know, restrictions were in place. So the crowd wasn't that big. I may or may not have had to break the law in order to gain entry into the park. And I was paranoid about that. So, you know, I did see Tyler McGill at the start of like his breakout two years ago at this point. So that was kind of cool. And I got a home run ball that I found in the parking lot when I was leaving, which also cool.
So cool.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, just the, I hate using this term, but everything about, you know, Binghamton, the ballpark, Speedies that I tried, and you know, it's all just mid.
Yeah. It's not your jam.
Yeah.
If you grew up with it, it might be, but
right,
you didn't,
right.
So it's not.
Exactly.
I guess, you know, I'll pick them next so we can expand on them a little bit.
Oh, okay.
The reasons I like Binghamton is I go to visit my buddy, Joe, who worked for them. And so before and after the game, I'd just be hanging out with him while he did his job. Like, you know. 20 feet away from Ronnie Marino, from Dominic Smith eating, you know, just shoving hot dogs into his face.
Sure, he was good at
the barbecue. Yeah. I think Joey told that story when he was on the podcast. But
that's right, he was on the podcast.
But yeah, so any positive experiences? I didn't see, I did see Ronnie, are generally associated with hanging out with my buddy, who also happens to be a relatively high-level employee at the minor league team that has two of the best prospects, or several of the best prospects that I follow obsessively. But I did see Ahmed Rosario. That was pretty good. And Dom Smith, right when they were sort of starting to trend up in a big way. Rosario got promoted to Binghamton, and I went up to see him, I think, like, 2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember. But I went up to see him fairly shortly after when he was, like, doing what he would need to do to be, like, the top prospect in baseball. And Dom Smith also kind of trending up by, starting to turn things around also. Double A is, I believe, where he figured out the sleep apnea stuff. But yeah, it's an older ballpark. Food is limited to like regular ballpark stuff, and there's not really anything around it.
Yeah, like the what's the right word? Not the ambience, but just the area. It's just, it feels like it's a weird area for a ballpark. It feels like it's just a generic commercial area, and then you just walk in by and then just all of a sudden like, oh, whoa, here's a ballpark. Like, okay. I like that there is the train yard. I don't know if it's train yard or just a train line in the outfield, on the other side of the wall. But because I like trains, but I don't really know anything else. I really can't recall anything else distinctive about the whole park besides for that. But yeah, that is definitely a lot of, I think we're going to kind of realize is that a lot of like the good memories, bad memories, whatever, a lot of it is obviously related to the stuff that's going on in the field. So, I mean, you could be playing on, a rundown kind of field in Prospect Park or something like that. But if you're playing with like guys that are awesome and you're dominating the competition and it's fun, you're gonna have obviously better memories than if you're playing against guys that are just destroying you on a really awesome field. I unfortunately don't have any friends that work in minor league baseball, so
I don't either anymore.
Well, yeah, I was unfortunately not crushing hot dogs with Dom Smith at any point in time. Number seven for me is First Energy Park in Lakewood, New Jersey, home of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws, aka Lakewood Blue Claws. I don't really think the park is anything all that much. It's definitely better than Binghamton, and there is stuff, you could walk around. It's like the panoramic, walk around 360, and the seating areas have the fire pits in the outfield and the berm, and there's all kinds of amusement things and whatever, but that stuff isn't really for me. The location is kind of weird. It's just like in the middle of nowhere, and it's definitely not near the shore. But the reason why I put them ahead of Binghamton is just I've been to a lot more games there.
It's not too far from you, right?
Yeah, it's about an hour. Whereas Binghamton is about three. So I've been to a lot of games there. Their PR and their media people are super accommodating. Not that Binghamton's weren't, but, just I've had a lot more experience with the Blue Claw people. And the only other time that I've caught a foul ball was in Lakewood, so.
Oh, nice.
Again, it comically bonked off of an old lady's head that was sitting a couple of rows and a couple of seats in front of us, so I caught it on the rebound.
Nice.
And then I felt bad that she just got bonked in the head by a ball, so I gave it back to her, and then she just gave it to a kid that like ran over from another section, so I was just like, damn, I shouldn't have given it back to you. I also saw Tim Tebow there.
Gotta love Tebow. I also saw Tim Tebow there. We can just keep talking about them. I'll pick them next as well.
Okay.
I don't feel in any particular way about
the
stadium or
what anything. Was your Tebow experience?
The place was nuts. Absolutely jam-packed. And full of people wearing SEC shit. as opposed to just the usual people in you know, either indifferent or there's like a lot of Florida stuff out and about. A lot of his like his jerseys and shirzies from when he was a college football player. I was there primarily to see Andres Jimenez, who had been promoted.
Right.
It was like his third game stateside or something like that. When Tebow happened to also be there, so that was cool getting to see Andres Jimenez as like a literal child and being able to like form an actual opinion from, you know, something other than like team propaganda, since you know he had just played elsewhere or, in team complexes, but. So yeah, that was kind of the Tebow experience that I had. Not sure if I also saw him at Double A. I don't think I saw him at Double A.
Speaking of team propaganda, obviously the Mets are just like, no, signing Tebow is not a media stunt. It's not a publicity stunt. But I mean, you saw it. I saw it. Like the presence in the stadium was just different. Anywhere he went. Like people.
He's a celebrity. He was a legitimate celebrity.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that they were selling out stadium. Like that's probably not true. I mean, maybe there were a couple of sellouts here and there.
Early on, I'm sure a lot. I would be surprised. I know getting three tickets because I brought my parents to that game was difficult. I know the place was pretty packed. But also, I don't know if that lasted long, if the novelty wore off.
Right. I could see it wearing off up here. I mean, this isn't really Tebow territory. This is not SEC country. But I mean, I feel like in Florida, like that really was
big deal.
Big deal. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
He held his own for a while.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, the first year was...
He did well enough to justify the experiment, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, for $1,000, for $100,000, which is a drop in the bucket for even the Wilpon era Mets.
Yeah, and also a drop in the bucket for what he, like, the gates that he juiced.
Exactly. I mean, if you figure a minor league ticket is... $10 to $15 a pop throughout the year, I'm sure that they generated enough tickets that were sold just for some random people that might not have come out just to see Tebow to make up that $100,000, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we wish him best in his announcing career, I think he's doing now.
Sure.
And, you know, and now if he's getting some announcing experience, I guess we could invite him on our podcasts, you know, since he might be on our level in terms of talking to the public now.
He's, I guess he's a friend of the pod.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll call him a friend of the pod.
you are the
come on the show.
You are the official title bestower.
Yes, that has largely been my bit.
All right. Number six for me, it's going to be Richmond County Ballpark on Staten Island, the current home of the Staten Island Fiery Hawks and formerly the Staten Island Yankees. Like you said before, it just, you know, the views are nice, but everything about the stadium otherwise is kind of like, eh. And for me, I don't even really care about the views because that's literally my commute every single day back and forth to work. So it's like it loses its coolness real quick. But I probably went to see more games there than I have anywhere else, and you know, lots of things I've seen, you know, playoff games, no hitters, brawls, major league guys rehabbing, I saw Jason Vargas. I mean, that's a memory I'll never forget. So
how could one forget Jason Vargas?
Once you see him, it's burned in your memory forever.
Let's go, Vargy.
But yeah, so, you know, it is a shame, though, and it is definitely fucked up how they got contracted and Yankees kind of screwed them. And, you know, the Yankees, Staten Island Yankees, Brooklyn Cyclones rivalry was, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I do think it was one of the best ones in minor league baseball because the proximity and for basically most of the 20 years.
Yeah, who the Wilpons are.
Right. And Brooklyn must win.
Brooklyn must win. So some crazy shit that happened.
For almost all 20 years that they both coexisted, they were both pretty good. I mean, you know, like, we know the Cyclones were above 500 for, like, their first 17 years straight or whatever it was. And the Staten Island Yankees generally had pretty good teams because the Yankees generally had pretty good farm teams. So it was, you know, always exciting baseball. All right, so who do you got next, Ken?
I'm going to go with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. I forget what their stadium. I think Delta Dental Park.
That does sound familiar.
Manchester, New Hampshire. I went, I moved to Boston about 6 months ago. So I went up to there on a random weekday to see Binghamton. And I think I bought tickets with some type of, like, return. They have, like, an insurance thing where if you don't use them, they'll refund you if you buy this specific kind of ticket.
Oh, okay.
And I did. And I don't think they ever refunded me. Like, I called them, and I couldn't get anybody on the phone at the box office to explain I was doing the thing. So I basically wasted, like, an extra $3 or something.
Mm. Who are they a farm system of?
Toronto.
Freaking Canadians.
Again, the park was nothing special, although the views are very nice. I was to the game I actually went to. I ended up not going to another, which is what the insurance thing was an argument over. But it's like on the water also, which all of these are. It's actually the closest to where I live, I think, except that's not a Red Sox affiliate. So that's nice.
Always nice, yeah.
That you get a little bit of variety. But I remember just not thinking it was as nice as Portland, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. And mostly also that being disappointed that it was a New England park and they didn't have Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
So, that is kind of surprising. What did they have?
Nothing really.
Oh, wow.
Generic. Whatever they could make, so which is fine.
To be fair, I feel like coffee is not a very big baseball, although at the same time though, New England, you're playing games in and anywhere in the Northeast when you're playing those April games, it does get cold, so that I should actually retract that statement.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like about the other park that I've been to up here, which we'll talk about later, is that it has a Dunkin', so I felt like a human throughout the day game that I went to.
Love playing baseball in 45-degree weather.
Yeah. It gets warm, though, as it gets later. I wouldn't go early in the season unless there was something I really wanted to see.
Yeah. All right, five now. So I'm going to go with Hunter Wright Stadium in Kingsport, Tennessee, which is currently the home to the Kingsport Axemen, but formerly the home of the Kingsport Mets. And the stadium is like, I don't even know if St. Spartan is putting it, you know, well, but it is like the bare minimum. There's a parking lot, and the parking is free, which I definitely am appreciative, but there's, you know, parking lot, there's the ticket box, there's a concession stand with like hot dogs and chicken fingers and drinks and ice cream and beer, and that's pretty much it. You know, then there's the field, there's some seats, and there's bleachers. And you could ding it in the sense that, like, wow, it's just very bare bones. But, you know, I feel like in an era where you're basically assaulted by music and ballpark attractions and like all kinds of random things in the ballpark, it's kind of nice sometimes to just go to a place where like literally it's just a game and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also the backdrop. Yeah, the backdrop is super scenic. You know, it's just trees, but in the evening with the sun setting and the sky's all pink and orange and, you know, blue and stuff, it was nice. And also, you know, making it definitely a cool place to be to see games is, you know, I mean, at the time anyway, not really so much anymore, but it was like literally the beginning, the first stop of every prospect who, not every, but most prospects who would go on to become somebody. You know, that's like Kingsport was one of their first stops, if not the first stop. So,
yeah, kind of the cool. Sad things about the restructuring is that bit of rookie ball no longer exists.
Mm-hmm. It was always kind of cool to be like, you know, make this trip down to, you know, Kingsport is probably like 9 or 10 hours from here. So, you know, I made a trip of it, obviously. I'm not going to drive 10 hours and then come back. But it's cool to, like, make a trip of it and, like, see all these guys for, like, the first time and be like, yeah, I saw Brett Beatty, like, take his first at bat as a professional or things like that, you know? It's cool. Definitely cool. All right. Well, who's up next for you?
What number are we at?
5.
And so right in the middle. We'll go with the Somerset Patriots. I never saw them as Bridgewater, New Jersey, Boundbrook. I'm not sure exactly where. Somerset, I guess. That's going to bother me. But very close to my house, the Little League I grew up playing in would have their Somerset Patriot games that they would host. So, like, I've been there a lot. It is a relatively nice ballpark, but it's also right off of 287. I worked at the ShopRite on the other side of 287 one year, and anytime they had fireworks, you could hear it while you were working. So any positive experiences from childhood have been tainted by my experiences driving past it on New Jersey's busiest interstate highway.
And they also have a flooding problem.
Very bad flooding problem. Might be a place where people probably shouldn't have built things.
Yeah.
Solely just nothing against the place, just judging by the amount of things that have been destroyed and had to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
I've never been to, I wanted to go. I mean, obviously before they became an affiliated team, going to like an independent ball game. They were the Atlantic League, I believe. Going to like an Atlantic League game, it's kind of like, So I never got to see, I never saw them as a independent team. And then this past year, I never got to go see them. So I will make it a point to go see them next year, assuming that Binghamton is in town, which I believe they are.
Yeah. I also will say that I don't like, one thing I don't like about Somerset is that they completely, something, I don't know what the story is, maybe you do, but they completely screwed over Trenton.
Yeah, basically they basically cut like a back deal, backroom deals with the Yankees.
Yeah, to you know, replace like a place I have actual good memories about. And a very nice ballpark.
Oh yeah, I mean I would say with some certainty 99.9% that we've both been there, and it hasn't been. Neither one of us have brought it up yet, so we both clearly hold it in high esteem.
Yep. Are they your next one?
They are not, surprisingly.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about them when they come to you. That'll be another one that we just discuss.
Gotcha. Well, my next one is Spirit Communications Park, a.k.a. Segra Park, in Columbia, South Carolina, home of the Columbia Fireflies, who are Kansas City affiliate, I believe, now.
I think so.
Yeah. I went there once. and you know, I made a week's vacation of it, and it was a fun vacation. The city itself is pretty nice. It's very walkable, very bikeable. There's some nice parks and stuff. And most importantly, the food. Oh my God, Ken, the food. I was introduced Carolina yellow barbecue sauce, and that's changed my life.
Delicious.
Oh my God, so good. But the location of the stadium, it's kind of like some of these other parks. Like, it just is a random plot of land that happened to be open, so they built a stadium on it. When I was there, they were still doing a lot of construction in the area. They're like revitalizing the entire district. But there was literally, I forget if it was a former jail or if it was a former insane asylum that was literally right next door and abandoned. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. But I guess they really can't lean into that as a baseball team. The stadium is nice. You know, it was new. When I went there, it was 2019, and they opened up the stadium in 2016. So it was still, you know, not even 5 years old. So it was still had that nice new stadium scent. And, you know, for people that like to do things inside the ballpark, you know, you could walk around and there's activities and whatever, you know, things like that. Palm trees, you know, around the place. Obviously, the weather was very nice because it's Columbia, South Carolina. It wasn't too humid at night. The problem with that city is that it's super humid. Like,
oh yeah,
it's in a. I'm not gonna look it up, but it's just like the location of the city is in an area that's like kind of in a depression, so it is. Gets a lot of humidity and the heat, and it's not near any kind of bodies of water, gotcha. So it doesn't have breezes. It's just kind of like, ugh. So on the days when it was hot and humid, it was hot and humid. But otherwise, it was a nice place for ball game. And of course, you know, seeing cool players is nice. And in that series, I saw Mark Vientos and Ronnie Mauricio for the first time, and they both sucked. I saw Thomas Zupacki, Simeon Woods Richardson, but literally nobody else other than those four guys on the Columbia Fireflies are good. And the two visiting teams, the Asheville Tourists and the Lexington Legends, neither one of those teams had anybody that was good. So I basically saw four guys, two of them once, and the rest of them were the rest of the at-bats that Vientos and Mauricio had were not good because it was the first half. So I believe that the Columbia Fireflies lost every single game that I saw, or they might have won one game and lost like the rest of the six, but not a good time to go see the Columbia Fireflies. All right, who is your number four?
My number four. So get into ones that we like.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done Trenton Thunder yet?
Trenton is my next one, so we can discuss it.
Let's do that one. So Trenton. Only good memories. I hadn't been there in several years prior to them getting the axe from the Yankees and becoming a draft league team during the restructuring. But another place I, you know, went to with friends, not far from my house, in a nice location, and just a nice ballpark, relatively new. Probably newer than Somerset's, if I had to guess. Or maybe had been renovated more recently.
Yeah.
I know that park.
It was the park was built in, like, I think, like 93 or 94. And it was like Frelinghuysen Stadium or something like that. Like one of the omnipresent New Jersey politicians.
Yes. I think Freeland... several buildings at Rutgers where I went to school are named after him as well. So
it would fit.
Yeah. And also they got the raw end of that deal, the raw end of restructuring, and don't like that.
No. Yeah. Trenton is nice. Obviously, you know, rookie and Dash, like rookie is a celebrity, you know,
Zycon.
Mm-hmm. A sex symbol, maybe? Or is that going
too far?
Okay. Yeah, the stadium is right on the Delaware River, and you know, right field. It's the ambience, I guess, which is very nice. You know, and there's a pier right there. You could literally jet ski to a game. Think about that. Is there anywhere else in the world that you can take a jet ski to a game?
I'm sure there's Florida ballparks.
Oh yeah, that is true. That is, I didn't even think of Florida. You're right. Damn.
Florida, if there is water, they've built like right next to it.
That is very good.
There's something. If they can put something large next to water, they do.
Mm. Also, Arm & Hammer Park, you know, the former home of the well, no, it is not the former home. They still are a team. They're just the draft league team. But the best giveaway promo that I've ever gotten was from a Trenton Thunder game. Obviously, you know, the park is Arm & Hammer Park, so Arm & Hammer is a corporate sponsor, and I'm leaving the game, and they're giving out full-size bottles of laundry detergent.
That's badass.
It and you know, that's like a $5, $7, you know, bottle.
You need it.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's definitely more useful in real life than a bobblehead or a helmet or something, you know?
Yep.
So I used every last drop of that Arm & Hammer detergent. All right, so we have two more. So, Ken, who is your number two?
Well, I think I'd like to do three more.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
That is fair.
So we're going to go the Port St. Lucie complex. Obviously nothing special. It's a bunch of backfields. I'm not going to count. I haven't seen a minor league game. I've only seen a spring training game at the actual ballpark, so we're going to disregard that. Just talking about the complex, obviously nothing special, but I went during spring training and it was a massively awesome experience. Just like seeing everybody running around in their uniforms and doing drills and shit. Getting to see like people who were just getting their feet wet at the professional level, like at all. Obviously, like that's where I saw Alvarez for the first time. So just a very cool experience. Highly recommended if anybody, you know, is in the area in South Florida and is looking for like a nice day trip.
Were there any alligators?
No, but recently Christina and I did go to the Everglades, maybe 4 hours south of there, and alligators were everywhere.
Is that a slightly disconcerting feeling to know that there's alligators everywhere?
Yeah, but they're pretty chill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like even there was one on literally on the path when Christina and I were there, and it was just like a ranger standing next to him, making sure nobody got too close. But the dude was just sunning, just chilling.
Mm.
Didn't seem agitated or anything. Didn't move when people walked by him.
Yeah, I guess if you respect the gator, they respect you.
Yeah, it was their land first, buddy.
That is very true. If they wanted it back, they could take it back very easily.
Yeah, gators are everywhere in Florida. So. But yeah, we'll do them next.
All right. Well, the place that I'm going to do for my number two does not have alligators, but they do have river turtles. How's that for a nice segue? And that is Calfee Park in Pulaski, Virginia, which is home to the Pulaski River Turtles, formerly the Pulaski Yankees. And, you know, it is in the Appalachian League. So same thing. Everything that I said about Hunter Wright Stadium in Kingsport applies to Calfee Park. You know, which is very quaint, and it's a nice place to see a ball game and everything like that. But it applies even more because Calfee Park is definitely the nicest park in the Appalachian League. The Yankees, and I think the Mariners, who were the partners before the Yankees, they did a lot of work on the stadium. The stadium was built in like the 30s, so, you know, there's history there, has charm, and really just the difference maker is that the city of Pulaski itself, I enjoyed the city a lot more than I did Kingsport. Kingsport just felt like, you know, any small town USA. It could be anywhere. Whereas Pulaski, it's like literally in the mountains. It's more scenic. It's more quaint. It's more folksy. You know, the Airbnb place that I stayed at, the owners, they had a farm next door. So my next door neighbor was a horse. And they brought me fresh bread and fresh eggs every day. So, you know, you can't beat that. That is service, you know. And of course, they had one of the years when I went there to see Kingsport versus Pulaski, they had the giveaway T-shirt, the Appalachian rivalry with the Yankees and the Mets teams. So, again, another place that got screwed by Major League Baseball just saying, "Nah, we don't want any more minor league teams." You know, an entire league got cut.
An entire level.
Yeah, well, that's true.
An entire run of the journey to Major League Baseball is just gone.
Freaking greedy motherfuckers. All right, what is your number two, Ken?
My number two is the Portland Sea Dogs. Again, I forget the name of the stadium, but New England is like the size of some malls in New York and New Jersey, so I made a day trip up to see, again, the Binghamton team with Baby Alvarez and Mauricio. And, yeah, not a super special park, but they do have a Dunkin' Donuts, which was greatly appreciated by me having woken up early to arrive to the game late. you know, being who I am and how I'm addicted to caffeine. So that was a nice touch. I remember I sat next to a scout, which is always fun, and, you know, just didn't really talk to him, but, like, kind of watched as he evaluated Alvarez and Batty. So, yeah, some good memories. It's probably my favorite park that I've seen since living up here, of the two that I've seen. I'm thinking Hartford will probably, I want to get there for a game that's a little farther. I'd probably want to time it with when I'm coming to Jersey, but Hartford, I think I want to see next year. It's literally Dunkin' Donuts Park. So
jackpot.
Yep.
What is it? Yeah. I mean, you are not a New Englander, but now I guess you're immersed in their culture.
No, I've always loved Dunkin'.
Is it about Dunkin' and up there?
It's not that. I don't know what it is about Dunkin' and up there. I can tell you for me, it's that they give you an awful lot of iced coffee for $4.
Oh yeah, no. I've
it's Dunkin' Donuts because they're large.
Yes,
extremely large.
Dunkin' Donuts is my preferred commercial coffee of choice. Don't get me wrong, but like they really make a thing of it.
Dunkin' is from here, I think. I'm not sure. Or at one point was from here. I can Google it.
I mean, Dunkin' Donuts is to New England what Wawa is to New Jersey people.
Yeah, but a little more omnipresent, because Wawa really only has a stranglehold on you know, maybe it's changed, because I you know, my familiarity with North Jersey isn't what it is where I grew up, but like from Central Jersey and South Jersey down is really Wawa, the Philly area, and reaching outward.
Yeah, from
is more the Wawa territory.
Exit, what is it? Maybe exit 6 down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so Dunkin' Donuts is headquartered in Massachusetts. I feel like I should have known that. But yeah, so it's a local thing. I am hesitant to go back to describing Wawa.
Wawa has good coffee, I've heard. Honestly, I've only gone to Wawa once in my life, and I did get the coffee, and I got, like, the vanilla creamer, and it was good. So I will say, point to Wawa. I am more experienced in the ways of 7-Eleven, just because, you know, that is what's more around over here, but I have no real horse in either race. All right, well, we're down to one, and there's one stadium that neither one of us have mentioned.
Nice how that worked out.
Yeah. And I do know for a fact that you've been to the stadium. I know for a fact that I've been to the stadium. And is it, I'll ask a question, is it perhaps home to the 2019 New York Penn League champions?
It is, in fact.
Yes. Keyspan Park, a.k.a. MCU Park, a.k.a. My Mommy's Park, home to the Brooklyn Cyclones. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's just hard to beat the whole experience. Before the game, you can get hot dogs from Nathan's. You can get a square and a Spumoni from L&B. After the game, basically on any given night, there's something going on in Coney Island, legal and or illegal. So you're going to be entertained either way. The on-the-field product, you know, there were some lean years in the end of the 2010s. You know, I think the first season they were below 500 was like 2017 and 2018. They were like historically bad. But other than that, they've been, you know, a good team for their entire run. There have been lots of prospects, legit prospects, who have gone through Brooklyn. Obviously, you know, they won the championship in 2019, the final champions in the now defunct New York Penn League.
R.I.P.
Definitely big R.I.P. The stadium, it's a real nice stadium.
Lots of food, which is unusual for minor league parks, and not just like Arancini brought, like a lot of the City Field, because of its proximity to City Field, a lot of the City Field vendors will have like an outpost there, or have at various times. And again, you can't beat being like right on the water next to next to the famous roller coaster and boardwalk and, perfect location, great ballpark, at times exciting baseball. Yeah.
And maybe it's some bias just because, you know, I'm part of the group and whatever else, but I feel like it's definitely, there are more regulars at Cyclones games than there were any other the places that I've been. Like I've probably been to an equal amount of Staten Island Yankee games as I have been Brooklyn Cyclones games. And I could honestly recall one guy at Yankee games that seems kind of been like a fixture, like had season tickets and was always there for multiple years. There are a bunch of people I could remember, you know, that seem to be fixtures at Cyclones games.
Oh, yeah. People like yelling at each other.
Yeah.
On a first name basis.
Like it's just, it is the fan experience itself is kind of a community, you know, like. There are diehards. Like, that's not something that you really see from minor league teams. Like, in most cases, the minor league team, it's like, okay, cool. It's like a cool thing to do if you're, you know, young. Like, okay,
maybe 10 people at any given time are actually paying attention to the baseball from, like, a prospect analysis standpoint.
Right.
It's mostly an entertainment product for children.
But, I mean, at Cyclones games, you have just diehards that just want to see good baseball, and when the team is good, they will be happy, and when the team is playing bad, they will let them know.
at the risk of saying something nice about the Wilpons, they really did give a shit about bringing baseball back to Brooklyn.
It is true. I mean, credit where credit is due.
The one thing.
Yep, the one thing that they did do right, they did hit out of the ballpark.
And to a fault, like I can't count the number of like big league rehabbers I saw play there for little to no reason. Like if a guy could rehab in Brooklyn, they would rehab in Brooklyn. Often coinciding with Staten Island Yankee games, the weirdest rivalry in minor league sports.
It's where I got to see Jason Vargas.
It's where I got to see Noah Syndergaard.
Oh yeah, I saw
Lugo. Just a real great place. The only thing that they did that was worth them being entrusted with the Queens baseball team.
Yeah, like I said, credit where credit is due. I don't know if there might have been any other individuals and or corporate ownership groups, whatever, that would have had that much of a minor focus, not minor in terms of minor leagues, but minor in terms of, you know, like, who really cares? You know, like, they kind of had to, you know, I was still like a young teenager when all this was happening, so I really don't recall, but obviously there were political, you know, strings that had to have been pulled and everything like that with the Yankees, because, you know, they both have the same sphere of influence and cancel each other. I forget what the terminology is, but you know what I'm talking about.
Territory rights, yeah.
Territory rights, thank you. Yes, they both have, you know, basically overlapping territory rights. So in order for everything to have happened the way it did for the, I think they were the Toronto Stompers, and then they became the St. John's Queens for one season, and then they became the Brooklyn Cyclones. But for all of that to have happened, they, you know, a lot of political stuff had to have been going on with the Yankees and with, you know, Rudy Giuliani and his administration in New York City. So definite props for bringing baseball back to Brooklyn. And, you know, personally for me, I am grateful, and it definitely paid off because lots of good memories.
Like a fixture throughout my childhood, and even up to being an adult, I always enjoy going to see games there.
Yep. All right. Well, that's pretty much everything. You have any last kind of coda regarding any of these stadiums that just popped up into your head, or anything else you forgot or missed, or whatever?
No, not really.
All right.
We covered it.
Yep. So yeah, definitely encourage everyone out there. Yeah, if you can go, if there is a minor league ballpark within your driving area, walking area, whatever it is, definitely go. Because even if you're just kind of marginally interested in baseball, A, why you'd be listening to this podcast, actually, it doesn't make any sense that you would be only marginally interested. But yeah, point is, you definitely should go to stadiums, you know, you haven't been to, make that weekend trip, make that overnight trip, whatever, because as we saw, you know, in 2020 and 2021, if Major League Baseball just feels like it at the strike of a pen, they could just eliminate entire teams, entire leagues for no reason. So, you know, and enjoy it while you can, because you never know when it might go away. If anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you could send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at ElvlaHost343, Ken is at Ken1191, and Thomas is at SadMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from, rate and review it, and of course we thank you for listening, and we will be back next week. So until then, love the Mets.